Coming up on Speak Up.
A girl, when she was just a child, she had the opportunity to view pornography for the first time. And that was actually the first time. She was maybe like 9, 10.
Wow.
But this was actually the first time she had the opportunity.
It all starts now.
81% of parents don't think dating violence is a problem.
Right.
What you're going through, you think you're the only one that's ever gone through this.
It is not always well. Sex is not the sin, and sex is not the problem.
You know, address the elephant in the room. Don't miss that opportunity.
I think as women, we have a lot of things to do. We multitask, so that's why we have to control.
We often think of pornography as a man's problem, but it is not. Studies say that for every 10 people that are addicted to pornography, 3 of them are women. Now, is it still pornography if you use it to spice up your sex life? How does it impact a woman's health and well-being? What does the Bible say about it? That is what we'll speak about today. Girls, this is a very hot topic.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, no pun intended.
It's a deep topic indeed. It's a deep topic. There's a story I heard of a girl when she was just a child. She had the opportunity to view pornography for the first time. Ooh. And that was actually the first time. Like, she was maybe like 9, 10.
Wow.
But this was actually the first time she had the opportunity to hear the voice of God. The voice of God said, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little
eyes, what you
see.
Maybe she remembered that little song.
Right? Yeah, of course. Yeah. However, because she didn't obey that voice, that song in her head, it then began a 25-year addiction to pornography. See, pornography just isn't watching people have sex. Mm. It now implants something in your mind and creates a certain image for yourself and the way you then respond to other people. Pornography, when it is built from a certain angle, right? It is built from a certain angle, looking downward at the woman. Uh-huh. So the viewer is looking downward at the woman. So if a woman views enough pornography, she is looking downward at the woman. Then can it be said that when she engages in what's supposed to be healthy sex, she can only look downward at herself?
Oh,
well, I don't know. There are many other types of pornography. That's true.
Yeah.
But we see nowadays, I mean, pornography really spans. You can have child pornography. You have all kinds of things. There's music that can be pornographic.
There are hair shampoo commercials.
That's right. Yeah.
Because we live in an over-sexualized society. Eclipse gum, all that stuff is about.
Now, come to Brazil and look at the posters. You will see, whoa, is this allowed?
Yeah.
Some places, you know, it's very open. And so both men and women are at risk. Certainly.
Absolutely.
But I think you're hitting on something where, for me, the problem is, number one, this is not sex that's taking place in a situation that what we believe in, which is Christian understanding of having sex in a committed marriage relationship between a man and a wife. But I don't like the fact that basically society and media is telling me if you haven't tried XYZ and you haven't done it like this, You're doing something wrong, and you're missing out.
So the image is in your head, right, Ellen?
I see the problem there. The problem is because of that, we're setting a standard of what will happen as opposed to what is the reality, of it.
So you have this utopic thought in your mind.
And now it connects to they're not meeting their expectations. They're not enjoying their sex life because they're not achieving
what they thought they should achieve.
Yes. That's an issue.
And those images stick to you. I mean, even when you read about people who are addicted and maybe they stopped using this and, you know, using and reading new pornography, those old images still stick to them. So your brain really has that imprint.
Yes. I've actually come across, I was reading about pornography and I've come across, like, this is a committed Christian girl. Mm-hmm. Girl. She actually just came across a magazine.
Yeah.
Because her brother, she was 11 years old at that time. Her brother was, like, looking at magazines about a year old. And
he was a year older than her?
No, the brother was a year older than her.
Yeah, so he was 12.
Yeah.
And she's 11.
Yeah, I say 1 year old. My. Okay.
Yeah.
But that's still so young.
And yes, because of that, she was just curious what it was. So she started reading it. And then eventually, like, 20 years later, and she is hooked because at first it was just, okay, I was just curious. And then all of a sudden she's like, I cannot, like, everything I want to do, everything I want to think is just pornography. And even she would go, like, even when she go to camps or even at church, she would look at pornography.
She became obsessed with it.
Yes, she was obsessed with it.
So it's not necessarily that people look at it and then have to, the addiction doesn't have to do with needing to have sex.
Not necessarily. It's that obsession that you start to have with this whole topic.
It becomes satisfying of some sort.
And it becomes your life.
It becomes satisfying. I think the addiction isn't always about the sex. Mm-hmm. People who are virgins can be heavily addicted to pornography.
There are also, as we're thinking here, like maybe marriage, people who are married that use it, you know, in their marriage or whatever. But single people.
Exactly.
Men and women.
And the thing about pornography does not stand alone. If you have pornography, you most likely have masturbation in the mix.
That's right.
Pornography does not stand alone. So then now you're opening a whole nother can, you know, into the mix in the situation, which is a whole nother addiction unto
and
itself.
And many people say, that's not a problem. In fact, if you look at what some doctors or people, researchers out there who don't have this Christian view and philosophy in life, they will say, you know, this is good for you. You
What's
can go
that?
To them and they will say, yeah, if you're a single person, I was in a conference not long ago and the OBGYN specialist, well known nationally, she was saying, this is part of what you should recommend to your patients.
Oh, dear.
You know? So here you have something that is totally against what we know to be true in terms of keeping your mind pure and having the principles that will guide you to have the most.
So it is a school of thought. I mean, it's and they will present you research to support that. What really concerns me, though, is that because we're talking about pornography, that we may put a label that sex in a way is something to be ashamed of, and we really should expand this to say that the focus is really on the addiction to the pornography.
I think we should make it very clear at this point that sex is not the sin and sex is not the problem.
God created
that thing and said, handle
that
your
thing.
Business.
You should enjoy.
Nothing wrong with sex.
Now let me tell you, ladies, hold that thought. We have somebody here in the studio today that will help us on this very tough topics. We have Dr. David Sadlacek, a professor at Andrews University Theological Seminary, and he's an addiction recovery specialist. Dr. Sadlacek.
Hi.
Nice to see you.
Thank you, Pastor.
You heard our heated conversation here.
I did.
We have all kinds of thoughts going, and sometimes it's kind of hard when you're bombarded with some mixed communication when it comes to how pornography or masturbation or some of these things are or are not helpful. Now, we are Christians.
Yes.
And we have something to live by. Let me start by asking you, are women really more, not more, but are as much susceptible to this? We hear a lot about men being addicted, but tell us a little bit, how does pornography affect women?
Well, you know, research shows about 70% of men engage engage in pornography, and right now we're about a third of women. But that number is worrisome because it's growing. Oh. For example, one recent study talked about 50% of ninth grade girls admitted.
50%? 50 for every
50.
Two girls, one girl is addicted.
Yeah. Not addicted.
But they're exposed to it.
Was exposed to it.
So that is a huge number.
And so it's growing. You know, the numbers are growing for women, and that's worrisome.
If it continues on that rate, in a few years, maybe we'll be at the
equal.
Same rate with men.
Yeah.
So that is very, very concerning. Well, we have lots of questions for you. We will need to take a break, but when we return, my Speak Up friends will join us to ask some very tough questions to Dr. Sadlacek. Don't go away. We're speaking up about pornography, and Dr. David Sadlacek is helping us today. Dr. David, you're mentioning that there's this trend of more and more women, girls in particular, being exposed to pornography. Now, are there any differences the way women or men use pornography?
Well, you know, there was a study recently done at McGill University that showed that when exposed to heterosexual sex, that men responded to to heterosexual sex, but when exposed to both homosexual and heterosexual sex, women were responding to both, not just same sex, but or opposite sex, but same sex. So, and so that's a difference.
What does that mean?
That is worrisome. Well, what I think that means is that men are, primarily, at least in this study, were stimulated sexually by women.
Yeah.
But women were stimulated by both. Men and women,
so
which is,
they,
again, a little bit different, and it's worrisome to me.
Yeah, so pornography opens a second door even wider for women.
Doesn't necessarily mean that this is about sex per se. Could it be that because women are emotionally charged, emotionally different than the man, that this is has to do with being part of belonging,
emotional attraction?
Yeah.
Well, it was. I mean, there certainly is that difference, and I want to talk about that. But this was stimulation by watching.
By watching. Okay.
Just by watching.
And so that's the difference. But there's a worrisome thing also, because I agree with you that women are primarily emotionally connected, and that's the way of getting them, aroused and so forth. For men, it's primarily visual. Okay. But when my concern is that when women now are watching pornography visually, it's not just the emotional connection. Now the part of their brain which is stimulated by visual
is being turned on too. More so than before.
It's being turned on too. And so I'm concerned that about what the implications of that are going to be. It has not been well researched, but I suspect that there's going to be some differences in brain wiring that occur when women predominantly do the visual stimulation rather than just the emotional connection.
Is it true that there's this sense, for me, like you heard us talking about, that pornography makes everyday people feel like that's what I should be? There's a dirtiness to it, right? Mm-hmm. There's like kind of this element of that's sexy and hot and new, and that's what I should be doing to keep my marriage alive. And if I'm not doing that, that's the standard. I must be missing out if I'm not trying this or we're watching this together.
Yeah, it's certainly there. We get the picture of what they
the
say
ideal
the ideal is.
Be, yeah.
And really the ideal is that we're searching for connection. To me, that's what pornography really is looking for, whether it's male or female pornography. The visual stuff is all a counterfeit of the longing of my heart that God's put there for connection with other human beings. Wow. That's what's really satisfying.
Even though there's no physical, like we were talking about, that you can just watch and there's no physical aspect to it afterwards, but there's that craving.
And also,
because it ignites the feelings that you may have with someone physically, if they were with you physically, it ignites those feelings.
Wouldn't that make it worse if you couldn't act on it?
Well,
maybe that's where the masturbation comes in.
That after somebody's exposed, instead of feeling better, they actually feel worse. Is that really shown?
Because just like, pornography is like cocaine in terms of how it relates to the brain. The release of chemicals in the brain as a result of being exposed to that is very similar to a cocaine high.
Wow. Well,
like
I have
pleasure.
Two serious issues with pornography. Mm-hmm. Two very serious. The addiction and the fact that it's very poorly made. But that being said, I was just thinking
it's too artificial than the real thing.
It's way too artificial. Why is it, why does it have this attraction that when it's really so poorly made?
Well, here's an interesting thing, is that more and more now, I think the poorly made stuff was done by guys.
Yeah. To make money.
But more and more now, women are creating pornography exclusively for women.
Wow.
And it's being done much better.
Oh, see, I was not updated
because
on that one.
I'm
glad you were not aware of it.
Well, you don't need
I would
to start,
assume that when a
Sarah.
Woman is going to craft a pornography scene or produce it or whatever, she's coming from the emotion side.
Exactly. The emotional
side,
and the physical.
Which is another huge concern.
Blending,
which is
blending both
exactly.
of them.
Exactly. So
this is worrisome. So tell us, what are some of the detrimental effects of pornography?
Well, one is the addiction one. When it's so easy to get caught into the addiction. You know, you think, well, I'll just do it, you know.
One time. Here,
but it's there. A trap. Yeah. You know, it ends up being a trap. And it's so easy to move from simply watching it once or twice because it is so stimulating. It is so addictive in nature because of the chemicals that are being released, mm-hmm. that we move into addiction very, very easily.
Very quickly.
And then, you know, you talked about the compulsive aspect, you know, mm-hmm. the obsession that goes along with it.
Right.
And so really it becomes so addictive
and then the
that
guilt.
People can't stop. Well, yeah. Yes, the guilt, so the shame that goes along with all of that.
Negatively.
That's why people hide and such when they watch it. It becomes hide and secret. And
what about in a marriage relationship? Let's say that a married couple is watching
this. They're supposed to be together.
Together. So, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How does that affect their actual physical relationship?
Right.
Well, I think that it affects it in a negative way because most of the time when a guy does pornography, what does he do? He masturbates to mm-hmm. it. Okay? And so he's getting the physical release from doing it. Mm-hmm. And so when he's with
his
wife,
of himself, right?
I mean, mm-hmm. I've worked with a number of guys who have been addicted to pornography and then get married. Mm-hmm. And then they find it strange to be with their wife.
Because they've been accustomed to themselves.
Because they've been accustomed to the pornography.
Yeah, because God created sex from what we know to please the other person, not ourselves. And this is a completely different scenario.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess now I have three things against pornography.
There you go, girl.
Let's leave those three things.
What's the third
Llewellyn
question?
Has a question. Let's let her speak.
Go to the party, not be invited?
Llewellyn.
I have a question, Dr. David. I know we're talking about married women and adult women. How about we talk about, like, the kids, too? You know, the kids at an early age, they get exposed to this. Is there a way to prevent them? You know, like, okay, let me rephrase. Is it better for them to get educated early on so that they don't get curious or so that
they
know what to expect? Or is it too early?
You don't want to introduce them to something that they're
not aware of.
At what age do they have to be educated?
But what I think is that we've done a poor job of educating our children about healthy, holy sexuality.
Because it's a sin to talk about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because
but here
we feel like it's dirty.
But we need
Let's
to.
Talk about sex, baby.
And the real question I have is how old are they when they get exposed to it?
Yeah. Exactly.
Somewhere else.
They will, with a very negative connotation.
At school,
I want to be the one, as a parent,
that's right.
who educates my own children about it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's
so
right.
I want to do that. And so we need to start young. We need to start early. We need to teach them about the dangers of it mm-hmm. because they are going to be exposed to it innocently
anyway,
as children.
It will
Let me ask this question. It's so difficult now because we have not a whole lot of time here, but how can people break away? Let's say somebody's watching us. They are already hooked.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How can they overcome? What first steps can they take?
Okay. Well, first of all, if they're a Christian, you know, I would want to get them connected with Jesus, who I believe really fills that need for intimacy. Mm-hmm. I would want to get them surrounded by other healthy people and healthy relationships. After that, what I would want to do is I would perhaps want to hook them up with perhaps a Christian 12-step group like Journey to Wholeness.
Oh, this is a great support. Yes, Journey to Wholeness, Adventist Recovery Ministries offers that.
Yeah. Or Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous, because a lot of them, it's love addiction, not just sex addiction.
Mm-hmm. Or addiction.
Yeah, Sexaholics Anonymous or Sex Addicts Anonymous.
Wow.
All of those are 12-step groups mm-hmm. that can be helpful. Now, for some people, that's not enough.
Yeah, they
may need a little more intensive treatment for it. And so there are like 4 or 5 day intensive treatment programs, like Bethesda Workshops, for example, is a good Christian one that I've sent people to and recommended.
How difficult is it for them? How long does it take on average? Do you have any idea?
Well, when a person's really an addict, to rewire the brain fully, mm-hmm. research shows it takes about a year.
Oh, wow.
Because I read that for men, it takes up to 5 years sometimes to really break free.
Yeah.
So a year, I think it will be.
Yeah.
But even
then,
it can be done.
Any medication that has been used?
Yeah.
Not that I'm aware of.
That is the problem with addiction.
But you know, one of the things that they also have for people who are really severely addicted is they have 28-day treatment programs.
Mm. Oh, like in
for
residential
sex addiction.
Treatment.
Residential, where you're in a residential hospital setting, mm-hmm. and you're being
And that can really speed up the process.
And what we find is that many times when people are really hooked, what they need to do is take a look a lot at their own foundational issues. Mm-hmm. Have they been molested, sexually abused, all of those things, and how has that contributed?
The root cause.
This is
the
root cause.
Treatment encompases all of that. Right.
Thank you so much, Dr. Sadlicek. This has been so helpful for us. Mm. And we want you to go to our website. There's more information there. We can talk about everything here, but find more resources right on the website you see on your screen. You can download our Speak Up Notes on pornography and use it as well as share it. It's an easy resource that you can have right in the palm of your hands. Also, send us your comments and questions. When we come back from the break, the Word of God will speak up on this issue. We're speaking up about pornography. Ladies, what thoughts do you have after that very, very good conversation?
Sex is not dirty.
It's not. Are you sure? But you know what?
Let me clear. Sex is not dirty. I was just thinking of like a scenario because there was like, I heard a story about a pastor and a wife who got married and never had sex.
No, Jesus. Ooh. Not
yes,
right. No.
Yes.
Not
because,
right.
Because they thought that God is watching and it's dirty. Like for them,
this
sex
is real.
Is dirty.
Especially in some cultures.
Right.
And I was
going to
say, if your parents were listening right now in the Philippines, where they feel that, oh, my daughter needs help because she's talking about this.
I think they would. Because, yes, I never had that education as a young kid. And I wanted to say that, too, that we, as a parent, we need to educate our kids. I don't know how young, but at a young age, because they're going to be exposed out there, and it's not going to be. They're not going to be well educated.
Their friends, the media, the prevention.
I go back to prevention. All this healthcare thing. I go back to prevention. Okay.
It is important.
Yeah. When are you going to send your kid to school?
Never.
No. She's homeschooling.
Okay.
Yeah.
We usually start at two and a half.
What?
Not even
what?
School.
No, not even school.
I'm talking about preschool. Being with other children.
But it's not even
four or five years early. They interact at the playground.
But that is my point.
There's always
that is my point.
Exactly.
Somebody's going to get there before you do.
So the earlier, the better.
Start, you have the control.
You're going to tell a two-year-old that this is what sex is, and it's not dirty.
You don't say in those languages.
There is always an age-appropriate way to teach a child about something, right?
So you have to read up on how is the best way.
Well, you guys write the book and share it with
them. There are resources available.
You can always tell now mom and dad are going to snuggle. And you will be okay with that.
Well, they will understand.
I'm not going to get into that.
Now let's talk about, yes, prevention is important, but there are many people out there that are already hooked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
You heard Dr. Sadlicek said some things that are very important. Having that support group of others who are also facing the same situation, like a 12-step group, many people don't even know what that is. Oh, no, that's for alcoholics.
Right.
No, those are support groups that are very, very helpful. Mm-hmm. And when you see that, no, you're not alone. You don't have to be ashamed and feel you're lost and you lost your salvation because you're doing this and you're trying to get out of it and you can't. There's someone else who also knows how they'll feel
I guess truth is, sex is not really the problem.
No.
Right? Sex ain't the problem.
No. Mm-hmm. God created it.
Preach it.
Sex ain't the problem.
But how
the
you
issue
do it
is
and
like
use
what
this.
The doctor said is what is the underlying issue? Is it a desire for a human connection, a love connection? Is there a self-esteem issue? This, that, and the third, were you molested? Blah, blah,
abuse.
Blah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where are you in the scope that
you need
pornography is
for
so
that
drawing
first.
To
but how
you?
Many of us really recognize that in our own lives? Mm-hmm. How many people sit back and say, well, I know I'm addicted to this, and it's because this, this, and this happened?
Yeah, unless you come to somebody that can help. That's why seeking a health professional. Mm-hmm. And if you're out there right now struggling with this, talk to somebody that can really point you to the right resources.
And even if it takes a year, you know, to some people, a year is going to sound like a long time.
Yeah, but actually,
to be free from something that is taking over your life.
But let me tell you, he made it clear, too, that you have to seek God. And I think we have to go to the Bible. And we need to see, what does the Bible speak up on this novella?
Well, there's a psalm that a lot of us are familiar with, Psalm 19:14. Some of us say it at the end of our prayers as a little tradition or custom, but it's fitting for this time where it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Mm-hmm. O Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer.
Yeah.
See, we got to focus on the part that says the meditations. Pornography allows you to have specific meditations in your heart. Right?
On trash that will...
specific meditations. And if you're saying, God, you are my strength and my redeemer, then there are certain meditations that don't belong in your heart. But the great part is, because he's our strength and our redeemer, he can turn it around. He can get you towards the steps that can help turn it around. And the thing is, God loves you all the while. He loves you while he's turning it around.
That's right.
You don't have to be turned around to come to him. No. He wants to turn it around.
He will
for
do
you.
It for you.
He wants to turn
very
around for you.
And there is no condemnation in God.
He there did is not no even, condemnation.
He did not even condemn the adulterer.
No condemnation.
That's right.
But he gave her a chance to be healed. Yeah.
But she had to choose.
Right.
She had
say,
to choose, exactly.
Yes, I can do it. Lord, help me do
it. If you come with the honesty before God, God, this is hard. God, I like it. God, I want to change.
But help me change.
God, there are days where I don't want to change, but God, I have to come to you because you said what you have a standard and ideal for us.
And he will do it.
He honors that.
Amen.
Well, we learned that pornography in any form is not only harmful to our mental and spiritual health, but it is plain wrong. For Christians in particular, pornography cannot be justified. We need to talk more about the negative impact that pornography has and provide hope for those around us who are trapped. The Bible tells us that we should abstain from sexual immorality and that we should turn our eyes from looking at worthless things. Let us stand together and continue to speak up about this. Remember, visit our website. There are resources there. You can download our Speak Up notes on pornography and share them with your friends and family. If you need prayer, our prayer partners are there, available to pray with you right now. Also, send us your comments and questions. We will see you next time at Speak Up on issues that really matter for your health and happiness.